You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Welcome to the Fourth Line Podcast in partnership with The Last Word on Sports. This is May the 13th, 2017, and with you today is myself, Carl, and back is the always wonderful Joel. So, welcome back. Missed you.
Oh, I missed you, Carl. It was sad that I didn't get to be here to talk about all things Sidney Crosby last week.
You got to miss concussion time with Sidney.
I did. Well, do we ever really miss that? Because I feel like that happens multiple times a year.
We can talk about it more this week because it was still a thing this week.
Yeah, some controversy surrounding Sidney Crosby. Is that normal?
Usually.
Yeah. If this was a different player.
PK Subban.
You can't pick like the second most popular guy in the league.
If this was John Tavares.
John Tavares or like
Alexi Emelin.
Yeah, or like Kopitar or someone just kind of like, they're a good player, but they're just kind of, do we make as big of a deal about this? Or is this a little star treatment here?
Not as big a deal. We make a deal, but like goaltenders get rung and don't get pulled from a game all the time. And you know who loses their mind about that?
Nobody.
They'll mention it like during the intermission of that game and everyone will be all outraged. And then the next day he'll be back at practice. And they're like, well, clearly he's fine. He wouldn't be practicing if he wasn't fine. Sidney Crosby plays a game after being cleared by team doctors and everyone suddenly becomes a PhD in heads.
Yeah, no, I don't get it. Are you ready? Are you ready for my take on this?
Never.
Okay. Well,
like I'm not ready, but I want it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this take out there.
All right, hit me.
So, are we at the point? Like, obviously, we're never going to fully understand concussions, brain injuries. Like, that's never going to be a thing.
Unlikely.
We understand it fairly well.
More than we did 10 years ago.
Way more than we did 30 years ago. At this point, should a player who knows the consequences of what his actions are, should he be allowed to make the decision for himself?
Yes.
So then why is there so much outrage about like Crosby coming in and playing? Like, I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like Crosby has had his bell rung enough times that he understands what a concussion is. And if he chooses to play in spite of getting a concussion, then who cares?
People.
Well, people
who,
do.
Who know better than him about his own life?
I guess. I don't know. Like, okay, because this is, and I mentioned this to you earlier, and this is the argument that I'm going to take, and people will not like it. If you're a new listener, then you won't understand. Like we talk about head injuries and targeting the head, and we're not fans of it. So I'm not saying you should target a guy's head.
No, but I would say like we were ahead of the, and if anything, we're more on like the do things to prevent head injuries than most people, right?
Yeah. So like, but head injuries are going to happen regardless of whether, like, I know, like, most teams aren't like the Capitals, and so they don't target people's heads, but they're going to happen with those other teams as well. So we just deal with it. But I think, like, you look at a sport like boxing.
The point is to punch people in the head.
Yeah, you. That is the goal of the game, and so you're gonna get a concussion, and guys are just making decisions that the benefit outweighs the risk. And so, like, if you're a boxer and you're like, I'm gonna be a boxer, but as soon as I get a concussion, I'm not gonna be a boxer. Like that, you can't do that. It comes hand in hand. So why do we lose our mind when, yeah, okay, Crosby, yes, he probably had 3 concussions this past week. But why are we losing our mind? Because he decided to come back in. He got cleared. That's a thing. Like, the rules say you can't play unless you clear the test. And everyone, I know everyone's saying, well, still looks like he had a concussion. Well, probably he did. But he chose to play. He passed the test. Why should we throw our arms up and say the NHL isn't doing their job? I don't know.
The only thing that I can see that people were upset about, and I can see where they're coming from, was the whole concussion spotter not pulling him from that game when he went headfirst in the boards and then was slow to get up. But
those people are wrong. Because, like, I've seen... If you go and like lots of people have detailed this, so we don't need to go into detail with it. But if you go to it, they're based off of the rules that the spotter is supposed to go by. What happened to Crosby did not fit those rules.
Because you have to hit your head off the ice.
Yeah, that's basic. And he didn't. And so, the other signs that he needed to see weren't there. And so I'm not saying they're right. I'm not saying that the rules are right on what they should be looking for, but based off of the rules we have, the spotter wasn't he had no authority to pull Crosby from the game.
Yeah. Like, again, I support your stance that Sidney Crosby should be able to do whatever he wants with his own body. Now, if you're going to do that, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, don't turn around and say, well, the NHL ruined my career when you made those own choices. Sure. So if he is told by a doctor, you know, you probably shouldn't play, you can, but you shouldn't, then maybe write that down for when the lawsuits start happening. But I personally enjoy watching Sidney Crosby play hockey and want to see him play it longer. So I see both sides of it. It's the playoffs. You play to win the game. And that's what he wanted to win. And, whether he was or was not concussed, I'm with you. He was likely concussed. So yeah, probably should have sat. If I was Sidney Crosby, I would have sat, but I'm also not one of the.
Seriously?
Yeah.
There's no way I would have.
Like, without knowing him, obviously, that's the thing, right? Sidney Crosby has had multiple concussions. He's missed over 100 games in his career with concussions. He knows a concussion better than anyone else. So I can sit here as much as I want and say, well, he shouldn't have played, but he knows how bad it is. And if it is bad or if he's better. I think at this point, when you've recovered from multiple concussions, you know when you're better.
I don't know. There's no chance I would have, I would be the guy sitting there just trying to pay off the doctor so I could play. Like, that's like, there's as soon as I passed whatever I needed to get on the ice, I don't care how I'm feeling. Like, I will go out there until someone tells me I can't. And that's
true fourth line attitude right there. You're there, you go.
But especially in the playoffs, like, so there's no question in, like, there's not a surprise at all that he played. Like, everyone's like, wow, he looks like, and this is the other thing that I know this is a hot take. I'm not a doctor. So
what?
So here's the thing. Why? I don't know what happened between when do we know if he had a concussion? I guess the one we did, right?
The first one, the Niskanen hit they say he has a concussion.
So,
but after the second one, they can't even come up with the same story if he was seen by a doctor.
Right. And I'm not saying, like, we don't know what happened. We don't know I actually spent a decent amount of time trying to figure out what the concussion protocol is in the NHL. Not super easy to find. Like,
because it's not super actually there.
Well, that or we don't really, I don't know. I feel like it's not, there is there to some extent. I've watched multiple games this year where a guy got pulled by the concussion spotter. So like there is some sort of protocol. I'm not in the camp of saying once you have a concussion, play it as safe as possible. I'm in the camp that says have a guidelines. Once you meet those guidelines, it is now up to the player whether they want to play or not. And that's a completely different conversation that says, let's create a style of game and a play of game that protects guys' heads and head injuries and concussions and all of those things.
Right. So make the sport to a point where you can't get a concussion, but once you have one,
is there ever going to be a place where you can't get a concussion?
No,
but a guy
it's about reducing the likelihood of them, right?
Right. So as low a risk as possible, but I still think like this, like outrage over the NHL not caring whether guys get concussions or not. It's like, well, maybe they do. I bet you players are the ones who are wanting to play more than the NHL is wanting them to play with concussions. I guarantee you that's the case. Like, as much as I don't like Bettman, Bettman's not sitting there saying, hey guys, you have concussions, you need to go play anyways. I don't think he really cares at that point. He's probably just saying, okay, what's best for the game? What makes me the most amount of money, right? And he's probably saying, what makes me most amount of money is having players not retire due to concussions early. So let's make sure that they don't do that. I've seen the early retirement tossed. I think you tossed that out there. Just like he might retire early because of concussions. That doesn't make Bettman money if Crosby retires early.
No, that's a fact.
So I actually think like I think this is an NHLPA thing. It's the players who need to change their mind, not the league, I think. If the outrage of concussions is warranted, which I don't think it is.
That's fair. I think you're right. It does need to be on the players to take all the next steps because the league's kind of, they can do more certainly, but, second round over third round. Here we are.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Joel, this is how you can tell which team is truly in my heart. I was disappointed, but I wasn't upset that the Caps were eliminated in an incredibly disappointing game 7.
See, this is what I talked about with you, is that you have all the benefit of rejoicing when they win, but like this, like, oh, I don't care attitude if they lose. It's this like great place to be in.
It's the perfect place to be when they're not actually, that's why everyone who cheers for a terrible hockey team also needs to just pick a playoff team every year. So when they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah. Except, I don't know though. I'm not a fan of that mentality. Cause it's kind of, it's like, so that's cause like, I love the risk and rewards part of sports. Like okay. I was just gonna say the highs will never be as high. Because you don't have that risk of, and the, like, the, cause the lows are never that low. So, cause like, you should, as a Capitals fan, you should be devastated today that you, like, that Ovi is never gonna make it past the second round. Like, well,
that's what I was thinking. I was like, how would I be today still, you know, what, 3 days after they're eliminated, if that had been the Avalanche eliminated in game 7 of the second round of the playoffs? I would have had a very different attitude today, yes. Like a much sadder, angrier attitude. Let's get into the old Capitals because they are, obviously done
forever.
And as Joel has clearly stated, many people think this is the end of the line. They're losing TJ Oshie. Alexander Ovechkin, as happens every single year, Joel, this has never not happened to him. Every single year, he gets 1 year older than he was the year before.
It's true.
And it's going to happen this year, too. It's also going to happen to Nick Backstrom. That's also going to happen.
He's going to be 30.
Yeah.
He is no longer a 20-year-old.
No.
That's not good. That's
almost you.
It's a bad move to the NHL.
Yeah. So let's chat. The Capitals, you think they're done? I don't. Yeah. Obviously, this is their best chance of this current segment, I would say.
This year, someone is going to win a Stanley Cup and we're all going to be like, that's weird. Like, that's what's going to happen. Cause like,
If it's the Pens, it won't be weird.
Even with all their injuries, like, so their best goalie's down. Letang played at all in the playoffs? I don't think that guy's played forever, right?
No.
So like, Crosby's been in and out now. I don't know. Like, I'm pretty sure. I'm sure there's other injuries on that team that I'm not
paying.
Yeah, like, this team is so broken. You want to know who one of the healthiest teams in the NHL was this playoffs?
Yeah.
The Capitals.
Yeah.
Like, what, Alsner? Woo.
Yeah. Well, and like,
big loss.
Everyone comments on Ovechkin's injury happening from the dirty hit by Nazem Kadri.
Hilarious.
In the first round, his knee, not the same after that old knee on knee from Dirty Naz. So that's part of the reason he got bumped down to the third line. Which I, sure, whatever you want to do, but if your best player is on the third line, which again, I would hope that Alexander Ovechkin is your best player. He needs to be your best player. You're paying him the money. He is one of the best players in the league. You need him to perform the way that he should. If he's on your third line, you are going to have a bad time. So
yeah, it's, I just, and just to his injury thing, if that's what he's going to play, like remember that everyone's injured right now.
Right. Exactly. Like, every team, Erik Karlsson has a fractured in his foot. Like, he's playing on a broken foot right now. They haven't dropped him down to the second pairing or the third pairing. He's still playing.
Yeah, and Steen, didn't he have a broken foot? And
yeah, everyone's got a thing.
Jumbo Joe had every ligament torn in his body. This team's going to take a step back. Like, because Oshie's not... That's a big, you're missing someone big. And the thing is, you gotta pay, Mr. Flaps' wings.
Kuznetsov.
Yeah, you gotta pay him. And I'm not
They have Oshie coming off the books, Justin Williams coming off the books, Daniel Winnick off the books, and then a bunch of RFAs that they're going to bring back. Kuznetsov, Burakovsky, Nate Schmidt, and Dmitry Orlov. Those are four guys that need contracts next year. And then the loss of Alsner and Shattenkirk. So like, this is a team that's going to look somewhat different. And you're hoping that you can put Kuznetsov and Burakovsky up on those top two lines. And they're replacing the hole left by Oshie. And then you fill that depth up below them. That's what this Capitals team needs to do, right? Is that they need one of those guys. And Kuznetsov's good. They need Burakovsky to take that next step and fill the Oshie void.
Yeah, but I just don't see it. I just don't see this team. Like, this was your chance. You had a broken Pens team with the worst of the two goalies. Like, this was your chance. And then you're going to play the Ducks or the Preds? Holy smokes.
After you just clean up against the Senators, that's your... That series is not going to be fun to watch, I don't think.
I'm not going to watch it.
I'll watch the first 10 minutes of every game, and then when the Penguins are up 3-0, then I'll turn it off.
It's just, man, this is going to be, I don't know, we're looking at, like, this was the chance, and this is the, it's the same thing. Like, as soon as, it's just a weird playoffs. It was anybody's, as soon as the Blackhawks got bounced, you're like, oh, well, apparently anyone can win this year.
That's part of, in the salary cap era that we're now in and have been in for quite some time, we've seen the parity, right? You see so many teams are in the playoff race till the very end, because of that parity. And we're seeing this now. The odds of winning are down for everyone across the board. No one's going to run away with it. And so you have, the Preds who sneak into the playoffs 1 point less than the Leafs. And all of a sudden now they're one up in the West Conference Finals. That's what happens. Teams that barely get in, and teams that barely got in could go on a run. The Oilers made the finals being the 8th seed. Teams have won as the 8th seed before, but it's just, it feels like every series is at most like a 60% chance of winning.
Yeah, it's, well, and especially, especially at this point, you're just like, well, if you've won 2 series, you definitely can win 3 or 4. Like, that's, so anyone can, you're not surprised. Well, I guess I'd be surprised if Ottawa won. That would be the only team of the three. I wouldn't be surprised if any of the other three win, though, at this point.
No, absolutely not.
And it's, so that second round, though, pretty much, I was very thrilled with all of the results, pretty much. I don't really care. I didn't really care about Ottawa or Rangers. I don't like either of them. I was so glad to see. It was just a great moment when the Oilers and Capitals both lost in game 7, same night. That was a great evening. I just laughed. I was like, good.
Yeah, it was.
I was like,
the Caps game, entertainment factor side. And maybe I was skewed because of my fandom. But it just was not an entertaining game 7.
Yeah, I didn't watch that one. So I think I watched the first little bit, but I didn't watch the rest. What happened? The other one went to OT, didn't it? I don't know.
No, the Ducks got the lead halfway through the third.
Okay. I don't remember. All these games just blur together at this point.
When there's a lot of them.
You're just like, I don't know what's happening.
Overtime.
Right, that's the one. There's been quite a few overtime games this year.
24.
So, are the Preds ever going to lose?
I don't think so. Because even last night,
should have lost last night.
They probably should have lost. Pekka Rene has been the reason this team has been magical throughout this whole stretch. And last night he was obviously good enough to win, but he wasn't otherworldly.
Yeah. I can't get it. I can't get my head around this team and why they're doing so good.
Well, it's because Pekka Rene decided to play good hockey.
Yeah. And this is one of those weird teams that you're just like, who's their best player? Think about it. I know that Rene's been their best player. But if you're just I need to pick who their best player is. I don't know.
Who their leading scorer is so far in the playoffs?
I couldn't tell you that.
If I had to guess, I would probably go James Neal.
Yeah. But I don't, it's bizarre. And then you're just like, oh, they have, see, the thing is the Preds have a lot of really good players, but no, really, really, really good player.
Subban is the only one that I would say fits the superstar status, and that's more so because of the personality as well as the talent. But yeah, Ryan Johansson is tied. No, he is 12. Yeah, he's tied for 12th with Mark Letestu with 11 points.
And that's who's leading
the press. Then
that's crazy.
You would not, I guess watching it, you could say Ryan Ellis, number 2.
This is such a bizarre team.
So I'm with you on that. The Preds have been, for almost their entire existence, that kind of a team, right? They've always been that team that just gets by as a collective whole, whether it was with Trotz as the coach or now with Laviolette as the coach. That's who they are. They aren't a superstar team. Like most people would, if you were to ask the average hockey fan, I'm fairly certain they could not name the captain of the Nashville Predators.
I would have thought it was, I don't even know what it is. Cause it was Weber, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go, cause I know it's not Neil, cause I saw the A on his jersey last night. So is it Yossi?
It is Michael Fisher.
Oh, that's so bizarre.
that's this team. They're like, yeah, we'll just give Mike Fisher, Mr. Underwood.
Dude, that's hilarious. You want to know, like, 4 goals. That's the leading goal scorer on this team.
Yeah, they don't need many goals because Pekka doesn't let in.
There's four of them. Yossi, Ellis, Forsberg, Neil. That's your goal scorer. They all have four.
Yeah. And that, like, does it surprise you at all that half of them are defensemen?
Not at all. So this is just such a weird team, but yet, you know what? Like, I think they're going to beat the Ducks in 4 or 5. Like, that's how I feel about them right now. Oh, that's how good they are.
I would say 5. Like, I would not be surprised if both of these series wrapped up in 5.
Yeah. Let's hope so. Cause like, then we get a little bit, if they wrap them up in 5, then we get a little like NFL style, a week or so off before the finals. Some of these guys can recover a little bit. Then we get like best of the two teams. And this is just from his style of play, but I don't know how to say the guy's name. Arvidsson.
Yeah. Arvidsson.
That guy just looks good. I don't know. Like he's one of those guys and that at least like from the eye test, man, like every time he's on the ice, you're just like, man, that guy's good. And just, but he doesn't quite put up the numbers necessarily, but like,
you know, I just, you know, Google them to pull up his stats and just, you know, to support you in this conversation. He is Swedish.
Yeah.
When it comes to nicknames, obviously, if you were to give Victor Arvidsson a nickname, what would you probably go to as like your stereotypical hockey nickname?
I have Arvi.
Yeah, exactly. Arvi. So they're like Victor Arvidsson, commonly referred to as Arvi, or not the Energizer Bunny, the Energy Bunny.
The Energy Bunny?
Yeah. It seems like something got lost in translation on its way back from Sweden.
The Energy Bunny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that's hilarious. But isn't that like he's always
fitting,
doing something.
Yeah, it's a fitting. The Energy Bunny is a fitting nickname for old Harvey.
Aren't you like happy if you like? He's one of those guys that you're just really happy he's on your team.
Like the sneaky good guy. Where you're like where did he come? And everyone's like, oh, you haven't known about Victor Arvidsson? Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, 30 goals this year.
Yeah, first full season in the league. 30 goals, 30 assists. It's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, so I like this team. I think I would be very happy with a Preds-Pens finals.
That's what I want in my heart. That's what I would predict is happening. So let's hope my heart is right. And Joel, I know me and you both picked the Pens to win the Cup this year, so at the start of the playoffs. So can still look smart.
It's looking good right now. Looking good. Yeah, although if you told me Matt Murray wasn't going to play at all in this playoffs...
It's true. I would have changed my pick.
I would change my pick to the Capitals, which never, I will not pick those guys to move past the second round ever. Won't ever happen.
Never.
Don't believe it. It's just never going to happen. Sorry, Caps fans.
Let's go. One other question I had. Do we have time? Yeah, sure. We have time. We can do whatever we want. This is our show.
Do whatever we want.
Quickly, does Ovi get traded from the Capitals before the end of his contract?
Before the end of his contract?
His contract ends. He has, wait for it,
5 or 6 years left.
Keep waiting for it. Expense of my internet is killing you. 1, 2, 3, 4 more years.
4 more years. I think he's more likely to go to the KHL than he is to go to another team.
I can get, see that.
That's the likelihood.
Play in the Olympics.
Yeah. What's your take on Kovalchuk?
Oof. I think he will be, as much as people were excited for Radulov to come back over, and like, oh, this guy might be good, and it turns out he actually is good still. Ilya Kovalchuk, not someone I'm excited to be coming back. Like, Radulov led the K in scoring 2 of the last 4 seasons. He was tearing it up over there. Kovalchuk, not so much. This year was his best year. And what it took was Pavel Datsyuk coming to his team for him to play better.
Did they play on the same line? Probably.
Probably. I'm not well versed in my KHL knowledge, but if I'm looking at his numbers, he was a point a game guy in the K, and then Datsyuk shows up on the team, and all of a sudden he's like 1.25 point a game.
Yeah.
That's a big change for a guy. And so if you're a point a game guy over there, looking at the numbers, it kind of works out similarly for Radulov. It's about 83% is what the folks say similarity. So if you're a point a game guy over there, come over here. That's about 60 points. I'm not losing my mind over having to do a sign and trade for a guy who can get me 60 points at 34 years of age. I'm just not.
Yeah, it depends though. Like, depends how much he's expecting to make. Like, I'm totally, like, if it doesn't cost, like, what, caught, like, I don't get, like, can the Devils really block him from playing in the NHL?
I don't think that they can, like, cause I'm sure if they try to block him, he'll file a grievance and then the PA, then it'll go. So it's probably not worth their time to try to block something.
They'll get like a 4th round pick.
Yeah. So,
and so
what they get in return is going to be minimal.
So,
I look at probably 6 mil is what he's like 3 years, $6 million. Are you happy with that?
You mean like 6 mil a season?
Yeah.
No, I think he's going to get the Radulov. He's going to get a 1 year deal. See, I don't think anyone will sign him for more than that.
And I think I don't see why he would, well, obviously, you know, I didn't see why he would disappear to Russia and walk away from his contract that was paying him, you know, an illegal amount of money with the Devils. So yeah, there's a lot of things that I don't know personally about Ilya Kovalchuk. Never met the guy.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me, to do what he did to disappear and then to come back and just be like, yeah, I'll play for a little bit. Cause he's 34. Radulov, still young. Like, he still has many times. He can take that 1 year contract, bank on himself, and then go forward and sign a long-term deal this year, which is going to happen. Kovalchuk, you sign a 1 year deal, now you're 35. How many guys are signing multi-year deals to 35-year-olds?
That's the thing. I just don't think, I just don't see anyone giving him a multi-year deal. Unless you're the Knights. I don't know. It just doesn't, it's such a weird thing. But I think he'll be, he'll score, what, 20 goals, 25 goals probably?
Yeah. If you expect him to be your team's leading scorer, unless you're the Colorado Avalanche, that probably won't happen. But he's gonna be, you know, a solid second line level performance, or, you know, decent first line. But he, as the Datsyuk thing shows, you put him with someone good, he can still be good.
Yeah, and that's the, yeah, so anyways, it's all very strange. I'm interested to see how that plays out. Kovalchuk is he's been an interesting player.
When, especially as so many people are saying Russians might disappear back to Russia this year so they can play in the Olympics with the
NHL. They're all coming back.
He's now coming back.
So that guy doesn't care about the Olympics, apparently.
No, he wants his cup. Which, if he wants his cup, he's not going to Vegas. And that's the other thing. Like, if you come back to the NHL at 34 years of age, you're coming back to win, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if, like, that is, now that I've thought about that, I can certainly see him taking a discounted deal to go to a contender. Put him on the Pens? Pretty sure they don't have cap space. But they keep managing to find, I didn't think they had enough cap space to add a Phil Kessel to that team either, but they did.
Yeah, they don't have that happening, but they might, I guess. I don't know. But you know where he could go to the place?
If you went to him and said, hey, you want to go play on a line with your friend Evgeny? How much of a discount do you want to take? Do you want to go win a cup? Hey, we've won our last two cups. Last two cups went to Pittsburgh. You want to go play with him? Go play with your friend from Russia? Play on his line?
That's just team. So you've got Crosby and the two schlubs that play with him, because that's what they do, is they just do whatever. Then you have Malkin and Kovalchuk, and then you got the third line with Kessel.
Yeah, you take the $4 million you're paying Chris Kunitz this year, offer it to Kovalchuk. 1 year, $4 million, come win a cup with us.
That's a crazy little team. Would be crazy.
You move off Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, this is...
There you go. You take the Kunitz and Fleury money, give half of it to Kovalchuk, and you still got another $5 million in the bank.
Yeah.
Do it.
That's... Oh, man. You know where he could go? Because they apparently have endless money.
Who?
Dallas.
Oh, Dallas.
Because they can pay whoever. They're just like, we should get all the goalies.
Speaking of trading fourth round picks for people, trade a fourth round pick to the old Los Angeles Kings. Get Benjamin Bishop. Sign him to a six-year, $29 million contract. Making him now the second highest paid goaltender on that team.
Which is crazy. So, like, ignore the fact that they have two goalies.
Ignoring.
That's a good contract.
Yes.
I'm happy about that if I'm a Dallas fan.
That is the 17th highest cap hit for a goalie.
Except it's this, you have now $18 billion tied up in goalies.
Yes. So someone's going to go. The most likely option is Carey Lehtinen gets bought out, right?
I think so. I was on our good old cap friend doing some buyouts, and that's the most likely option, because you don't want to buy out an EMA because it just extends.
Yeah, extends
unnecessarily.
About $3 million if they buy out Carey Lehtinen.
Yeah, so it's just, I think, like, it makes a ton of sense in the sense that they needed a really good goalie and they got one, but it's just so confusing because they have so many. They have so many, like, goalies. It's just confusing. So,
yeah, but they'll buy out one. And this is a team, you know, we talked about through the trade deadline. They've got a ton of money coming off the books. As much as, like, they're young-ish in certain areas, like, they're starting to reach that point where you need to do something with these guys. Jamie Benn's 27. Tyler Seguin's 25. These are guys you have to start making use out of. But Patrick Sharp, they might bring him back at a discount, right? Obviously, he's not going to be making the $6 million he was making before. Al Shamsky, Yuri Hudler, like, there's some money coming off, and certainly they buy them out. So, you know, the Bishop contract is only going to be, you know, you buy out Lehtinen. The difference between him and Bishop is going to be about $1.5-2 million. So for an extra $2 million, you have an upgrade from Antti Niemi, Carey Lehtinen to Ben Bishop. And I like that.
Can we take a moment to say, just like show how badly the Lightning screwed this up?
But.
So here is what the Lightning got. They got Peter Budaj, which, whatever, it's just
a body.
That the Kings Kings are sending to the AHL or cutting as soon as they get Bishop. Eric Cernak. I don't know how to say it. I believe when we looked into him, he's not really that high level of prospect.
No.
He's fairly low level. A seventh rounder.
Yeah.
But they also sent a fifth rounder with Bishop.
Okay.
So they're losing on that side. And then a conditional pick that I'm trying the conditions, but I believe it was tied to playoffs.
Which will
not be sent then because the Kings didn't make the playoffs.
Correct.
So, and then the Kings got a fourth rounder for Bishop.
Just for the rights to sign him early.
The Kings may have gotten more for Bishop than the Lightning did.
Yeah, it's close. That like any trade for a prospect, it hinges on what he does. But certainly Tampa could have done. Obviously, if they could have done better, they would have. But not the best value on that trade. But Dallas has all the goalies now. They surprised everyone, went out and just took over that division 2 years ago. This year, goaltending played as expected, and they missed the playoffs. With Ben Bishop there, are they back to being a playoff team?
It could be, yeah. I'm not one that says goalies make all the difference, but like you need a goalie that can stop pucks, and they didn't have that.
Right.
Your
theory, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you do not pay goaltenders, and that's been your criticism of the Dallas Stars for all this time.
Yeah.
You don't pay goaltenders, but you do need one. You can't just like throw out nobody.
If they had, so like, here's the thing. If they had Ben Bishop at the contract that he just signed and an AHL as your backup, you're in a great situation.
Right. For sure.
But you're not in a great situation because, and you know what though? They buy out Lehtonen, they get that cap space back. They don't need a ton. And then Niemi, okay, you have him for one more year. All of a sudden they're in a great situation for goaltending next year.
Yeah.
You're not thrilled that your backup is, but with a team that has the cap space, here's the thing though, is which Ben Bishop are they getting? Ben Bishop from last year or Ben Bishop from this year?
I don't know, Joel.
Cause Bishop not as good as you. Didn't have a great season. Injured a little bit, but didn't have a great season.
He's still a goalie. That's a fact.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm doing some math here to find out exactly how much better the Dallas Stars would have been. But it's going to be substantial. So the Dallas Stars put up 223 goals this year.
Yeah.
They gave up 260 goals.
That's a lot of goals.
Yeah. 220 goals puts them. And again, this dropped off because last year, 223 goals for them. The year before, they just scored every goal ever. So that dropped off, right? They had some injury problems, et cetera, et cetera. But 260 goals against puts them second to the Colorado Avalanche. If you're second to the Colorado Avalanche and it's sad about how bad you are, that pretty much means you're the worst because it doesn't get much worse than that. So their save percentage in net, 89.35. Ooh. Not good. Ben Bishop's this year, and again, you said a down year for Ben Bishop. It was. This was his worst save percentage since he was with the Ottawa Senators. It was 9-11.
There you go.
So that's, what's that, 22% better than the Caps. Or the, not 22%, what's that, 12%. 12% better. I don't know, 2% better. Either way, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
You stop 2% more pucks. I don't even know. It's more than that. That's 89. Oh, I'm looking at this bad.
I don't know math at all. So you're on your own here, bud.
Okay, it is 2%, but that 2% is important.
Yeah, this is. Yeah. Well, good luck, Dallas. I like Dallas. He's got good players that I like.
They have players that are fun to watch. When they're winning, it's like random. You kind of like, it feels like you're flying by the seat of your pants. Cause especially before when they were winning, you're like, how many goals are they going to give up? Because I think I saw them in Calgary here. I'm pretty sure I watched them blow a 4-0 lead. So
yeah, probably. That's
then lost in overtime.
Yeah.
I know that happened.
So this is it's a blow to the Vegas Knights. You were probably hoping they would have a shot at trying to give that guy a contract, though, hey?
Oh yeah, and we've known for some time that goaltending is going to be the Knights' best position. So we'll, you know, because even still, after having this run with Fleury and having Murray sitting on the bench, the Pens still have to get rid of one of them. Like, one of them is being exposed. And if you win a cup for a team playing the way Marc-Andre Fleury is, how does Vegas not say no to having to give up nothing for him? It doesn't even cost the fourth round pick that it cost Dallas. It's a free starting goalie.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they even try to trade for him. Because, like, Penguins are going to have a couple of decent guys available. So yeah. they might take someone else and then just trade for Fleury.
Yeah, but if the Pens get to keep them, clearly this is shown. Because, like, if they didn't have Marc-Andre Fleury, I don't know who their third string goalie is. Like, it wouldn't be someone that would take them to the conference finals. So if I'm the Pens and I can afford to keep both of them, what are you going to get for Marc-Andre Fleury?
They can't afford to keep both of them, though. They're lucking out right now. Like, they can't afford to keep doing this. Cause they got to start paying. Who is Sherry? Sherry, Rust. Like, I'm not saying that those guys are going to get paid tons, but they're going to start making money more than what they're getting paid right now.
I say, like, Sherry, sure, you'll sign him to a deal. Brian Rust, he's replaceable.
They love that guy there, though.
But, like, this is the same thing with the Chicago Blackhawks. These are the guys that you cycle in and out every single year, and you find a brand new. Jake Guentzel is the new whoever, and as soon as he stops playing with Sidney Crosby, he's mediocre. Like, you can take Brian Rust and put him anywhere else, and you're not sad that he's gone, because you'll find someone else.
Yeah.
You'll bring Matt Cullen, the next Matt Cullen. Like, what, Martin Hansel on this team is the next version of that?
Yeah, they only have three defensemen on contract after this season, Penguins.
Yeah.
Letang, Mata, and Cole.
Yeah, so Schultz is still going to be around, and he'll be getting a raise, certainly.
Like, yeah, he more than probably deserves.
Yeah. And then
that's such a weird thing for Schultz. Like, are the Penguins one of those teams that just you go there and all of a sudden you're good? Is that?
I think, it's the opposite of the Oilers stink that we saw before. You know, there was no stars there. Here you go. And, you know, having a Sidney Crosby, having an Evgeny Malkin, having those two forward lines can take a lot of pressure off a lot of different guys. And I'm not just talking like emotional pressure. Like, they help you play better because you're not the target. In Edmonton, Justin Schultz was, as bad as this sounds, like, he was their defenseman. That was the guy that they put all their eggs into his basket. And they were like, all right, Justin, be good for us. And he wasn't.
Yeah.
Here, whatever. Like, you've got, when he's healthy, you've got Chris Letang, you've got Olli Maatta, you've got these guys above you, and you're like, yeah, I can go and I can play. I can be a second pairing defenseman who doesn't need to have all this pressure, because when I'm on the second pairing, they put out the second line, you have Evgeny Malkin on your second line. You have Phil Kessel on these lines. Like, you have someone else taking that pressure off of you throughout this entire lineup. That's easy.
Yeah.
I can't skate backwards, and I could probably be a defenseman on the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah. So, it'll be interesting offseason. I love the expansion draft. Like, it's going to make everything super interesting. So that's the thing. Like, it makes this Bishop signing so much. There's just another dynamic to him signing that we normally wouldn't have. Normally, be like, yeah, he signed great. They'll cut Lettinen and whatever. But now
it was like, oh, well, that was like Bishop would is probably a legitimate, like, person or legitimate player that the Knights were going to go after, and now they're not going to. So now they're going to have to go after someone else. It's just like, it's another layer that just everything that happens between now and that expansion draft is going to be sitting there and be like, oh, so yeah,
it's a ton of fun. Cause you have these, you know, you see teams sometimes and like, this team has so much money coming off the books. They're going to spend. Vegas has all the money off the books. Like they are filling an entire roster. It's been a, you know, quite some time since that's happened. And especially was the first time in the salary cap era. So like, yeah. It's a whole new set of circumstances than when the Jackets and Wild came in.
Can we chat about just this one thing? This isn't hockey related, but it can play into hockey. Did you see what happened with the Boston Celtics?
No.
Okay, so they wore all black heading to the game six, which was a close out game for them. They had won series over.
It's like funeral clothes.
And from my understanding, I don't know if they've ever actually said like, that's what we were doing, but they haven't denied it when they've been asked, like, did you use this like funeral attire? And then they lost.
So it was fitting.
So
who'd they lose to?
They lost to the Wizards. So now it's going to a game seven.
Oh, okay.
Are you
they wore funeral clothes.
So, like, because they were saying, like, themselves. No, they were going to the Wizards' funeral.
Oh,
that's the mindset.
Now, yeah.
So then, do you do something like that knowing that you are fully provoking the other team?
I do not, but I love when people do. I love bulletin board material. I love the swagger that it takes to walk into an arena. And was it at home or was it on the road?
It was on the road.
So they walked into the other team's arena and essentially declared, we're here for your funeral.
And yeah.
That's impressive. I like that. Yeah. Like, so I wouldn't do it. And it backfired. I don't think they lost because of it. It's just you shouldn't need bulletin board material to get up for a game in the playoffs. If you do, you're probably going to eventually lose anyways.
Well, John Wall did say this was on my mind the entire game. Like, so, and he was the one who hit the 3-pointer with 3 seconds left to send it to game seven. So I like it maybe wasn't the reason they lost. But it also maybe was like, I don't know. It's kind of like one of those things. And this is controversial in my world a little bit. Cause I've gotten some teams riled up at me because of this, but so the ball team that I play on, whenever I'm Mr. Motivation. So I give motivational speeches to my team. Like, so we all like gather in front of the dugout. And I give a motivational speech before we play our games. Not every game, but like, say like we're doing a tournament or something like that. So like first game of the playoffs.
And I've been on the receiving end of these motivational speeches before.
Yeah.
They're good.
But usually it involves like criticizing the other team. Like just generally like they don't think we can beat, they don't think that we can beat them. They think we're just a bunch of schlubs. We can't play or whatever. But I do it like I'm yelling so like everybody so can hear.
Yeah.
And I've definitely had guys like yell at me during games when I've because the risk that you run as soon as you stop, the other team's just like all over you at that point, right?
You need to be okay and prepared. And obviously you are.
So I don't care. I think it's hilarious. But yeah, like, but I just wonder, like, if I was in pro sports where I'm in the middle of the playoffs where like, okay, I get it. There's some teams that are better than others and you look on paper, but still in the playoffs, we all know in any league, in any playoffs, anything can happen. We've all seen the upset, a team win that shouldn't have won. Should you be that cocky to just throw it right in their face in the middle of the playoffs. Like, if the Celtics lose now, I will point back and say, see, you should not have done that. You upset the basketball gods.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I'd not give them anything extra to go off of. So, like, personally, I wouldn't do it. And I really don't think in the long term it matters. Like, sure, John Wall could say, oh, I had that in my mind the entire game. And, like, you play angry. But playing angry doesn't necessarily mean you're going to play better.
Here's the thing. So this is where I'm going with this. Tonight, walking into the arena, Sidney Crosby, Eastern Conference champs hat.
He switches out that dirty Penguins hat he's been wearing the entire year.
Yeah, just wearing the Eastern Conference hat.
Does he wear the one that they won last year and, like, scratch off the 2016 and put a 2017?
No, because that guy's got money. He can get an actual one made up.
He'll get one made up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you feel about that?
I would love that.
That would be amazing. I would love that
so much.
Yeah. And you know what? And see, the thing is, Crosby's not the guy to do that, but you know who I think would, and it would be hilarious?
Malkin.
Fleury.
Oh, Fleury for sure. Fleury
totally would do it.
Malkin would 100%.
Yeah.
Did you see Malkin? Well, Brizgalov tweeted out that the Caps were going to, I think it was after game 5, he tweeted out, oh, Caps go final. And Malkin tweeted him back after game 7 and said, hey, do you want to come watch the East Final with me in Pittsburgh?
That's so funny. I just love it. Like, and it's just like things like, that guy, Kunetsov, whatever his name is.
The Bird.
That guy's like, yeah, the Bird, so annoyed. I was like, that's so good that he lost. I was like, because he just does it in everyone's face and he thinks he's the, like, hottest stuff. And then he loses and you're just like, wow, that's probably, like, there's a, those kinds of moments, those are the moments that I point to and say, it may not have directly affected that you lost, but it's not helping. Like, don't make a guy like Malkin up mad. Like,
I don't
know. You don't want to wake that guy up more than he already is.
I think you don't need an excuse to show up. Like, all these teams, you know, like, that's the same thing. People said, well, the Preds have this time off. Maybe they'll lose their edge. If you need an edge in the conference finals, you're a bad team. Like, you don't get to this point without having that edge already. And I just don't think that it's that necessary. So sure, playing mad, like, when I'm mad, I play worse. Like, much worse.
Maybe not mad, but purposeful. There is something to it. I think there is. Like, it's just a different mindset. Or maybe,
and it comes down to the person. So maybe John Wall, he's more attentive to those things. But like for me, when there's something, when there's bulletin board material happening, I'm probably going to play worse.
I like getting fired up about something. And maybe it just makes it that much more enjoyable when I beat them. Maybe that's
fun. For sure.
Because, I was so hoping that one of the Penguins did the flap in the arms through the handshake line. That would have killed me. I would have been like, that is amazing. And you know what? Kunetsov couldn't have gotten mad about it. He could, if they had done that, he would have gotten mad about it, but you could have been like, well, maybe you should win next time then.
Three on a big Kuznetsov save, flaps the arms after the whistle.
Yeah, you can't get mad about it. Because that's the thing. And maybe that's it. A lot of these guys who do those things are the same guys like Cam Newton. He'll do it as soon as he wins, but then he'll get whiny and mad when he loses. And he'll be like, you can't do that. And he doesn't talk like that because he just doesn't talk when he loses. Like, that's the thing. So, hilarious. I don't know. I hope something like that happens in the NHL playoffs, but it won't.
If it is, it'll be P.K. Subban because he has a great personality. And then Mike Milbury will get mad about it. And then P.K. Subban will win anyways because he's also good at hockey. And then everyone will enjoy the fact that he won.
Yeah, this is like it. So, well, this has been, it's been a fun playoff so far.
It has been. At most 20 games of hockey left this year. So cherish them.
Yeah, and just to hope that we don't get a Sens Ducks finals, because no one's gonna like that.
No, not at all.
Like literally 10 people will watch
that, it'll be the 10 people in the arena in Ottawa.
Yeah, it'll be the least watched NHL finals. That's my guess, if we get those two. So let's hope we don't.
Yeah. Joel, we have a big thanks to send out.
Some thanks.
Yeah. Big thank you to Chad in Denver, who is our newest Patreon supporter.
Thanks, Chad.
And, you know, thanks to Graham last week for filling in for you as well.
Yeah. That guy's clutch.
Yeah, he was good. But thank you for coming back. Speaking of Patreon,
right
now, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to go record our bonus Patreon episode.
Yeah, we are.
First ever. Do we want to tease what's going to be talked about on that? Or just show up?
We're going to do some still hockey talk.
Yeah, we're going deep dive, like deep, deep dive.
Yeah, someplace not playoff related, and then we're going to talk about food.
So it's the fourth line that you know and love. We're going to talk about food. We're going to talk about hockey. And, we might even have a special guest.
Special guest. Yeah. I like it. High sticking.
Not a big special guest though. Just a small special guest.
Tiny. Yeah. Almost.
Yeah.
No, not almost. It is tiny.
Quite.
Yeah. Did someone win high sticking for round two?
Yeah. Gwen, friend of the show, longtime friend of the show, arguably one of the longest, finally won high sticking. So congrats.
Congrats. You can play. There's potentially 13 more games in the second round.
Which if you pick all of them right, that's 39 more points.
Yeah. So you can win. But you should get in early because these series might not go long. Yeah. So
it could be the fact, like, someone could win this one with 10 points or less. It's going to be small. Make them count.
Someone's already up on three. I saw someone pick Neil. So
yeah, a brand new, I think Tracy was her name.
Okay. I'm not good at picking game winners.
Me either.
It's not good. So, well, there you go. I think you should play. I'm not going to because I always forget and I'm not good at it, so I won't.
And I won't because I organize the game, and if I win, it feels like cheating.
I will say that you're not allowed to win because that is total cheating.
It's super weird. I got everyone right. But how do you play? On our Twitter, pick the game-winning goal scorers from every game of the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's going to be one game every night until one of these teams advances. And then we'll go to the finals, pick one player from each team who you think will score the game-winning goal. And if you're right, you get points. If they assist on the goal, you still get points. So head over and play. We're also keeping track of who is leading through the whole playoffs. So Kristen Meyer, who won the first round, and Ken, whose previous high-sticking, he's a proud owner of a mini stick prize pack because he made you laugh once. I believe that's how he got it. So he's still vying for that, but they're leading the total playoff points. You can tune in and play as well over there. Twitter at Fourth Line Podcast.
And rumor has it, we might be getting new prizes.
New prizes? Maybe a new game mode?
Yeah.
This could be the last sets of mini stick prize packs.
So if you have any suggestions on prizes you would like to see, like, I don't know, it'll be something fourth line custom made. And it will not be jerseys or something like that, because that's a lot of money. So
we hand out like one every 4 years.
Yeah. So you're like, you know what? I would like this. I'd like the fourth line to be on this, or I'd like them in my life in this way. You can suggest. We got a couple ideas, so
yeah.
But in
the line of the jersey, the more it costs, the less of them we can hand out. So
that's how it goes. So check out Twitter or something.
Twitter at Fourth Line Podcast, the fourthlinepodcast.com. facebook.com/fourthlinepodcast, and over it on Patreon. We're also on Last Word on Sports, Nuts and Bolts Sports, and everywhere you're looking for podcasts. So if you wanted to go give us a review, a nice 5-star review would really be nice.
Or a 3-star if you're just like, eh, they're okay.
Yeah, they're a literal 3 out of 5. We appreciate honesty as well. So thank you guys very much for tuning in. Joel, thank you for coming back.
Hey, you're welcome. I'll be back next week too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Boom City.
Boom.